grace upon grace.
Good morning. Well, it's great to be here again, and also it's great to see Pastor Stan here is here with us. Okay, today's topic is called Grace Upon Grace. Okay. Well, when we wake up every morning and when we open our eyes, look out to the window, well, today is not as good, but like in summertime, when we look out the window, what do we see? Yes. We see the beautiful blue sky, right? The sunshine come through to warm our hearts. And also we hear the birds singing. Then we will praise the Lord for creating such a wonderful world for us. Then we turn on the TV and watch the news. And all the good feelings just drain away. It seems like there is nothing but bad news. Our world is full of deceit, violence, and even death. Such as the Federal Ministry of Health reported that drug abuse has become the number one killer of adolescents aged 10 to 18. And many teenagers die from overdose of drugs, such as fentanyl. And a shooting at a wedding party in Ottawa resulted in 2 deaths and 6 injuries. In an instant, a joyful occasion turned sorrowful. And scammers sold fake tickets to American singer Taylor Swift's concert and caused many to lose thousands of dollars. And since the start of the pandemic, reports of racism are on the rise worldwide. A 92-year-old Chinese man was attacked at a convenience store in East Vancouver. And also, there were reports of increased domestic violence. Many women and children were beaten up. And also increased robberies, children being kidnapped, and so on. It appears that the society that we are in now is dark and evil. It is like the time in Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. This stands in great contrast to the serene atmosphere described at the end of the book of Ruth, when Naomi held the descendants of the house of Elimelech, like the baby born to Ruth and Boaz. Then we cannot help but ask ourselves, do we have to tolerate all this evilness of the world in silence? What can we do to bring the world out of this chaos that is similar to the time of Judges and into the tranquility of Ruth's time? In the book of Ruth, the theme of hazard is prominent. So what is hazard? It is a Hebrew word for love, defined as a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. And we can see that Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz all demonstrated hazard. And they continually acted in kindness and love towards all those around them. And we also see that Naomi's situation changed from the beginning of the story, from being lonely and desolate, to eventually being joyful and fulfilled, with descendants surrounding her. How did this shift come about? To answer this question, we need to examine, how did Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz show kindness or grace to others? And what were the consequences of their gracious actions? And actually, what was happening behind the scene? And why did all this happen? So let's learn together this morning about grace. From the previous sermons, we understand that Elimelech's household went through a catastrophic change after moving to the land of Moab. Elimelech and his 2 sons died, leaving Naomi and the 2 daughters-in-law widowed without sons. Not only did they have no man to protect them, they were without a son to inherit Elimelech's estate. Their outlook in life appeared gloomy. But what is strange and incomprehensible is that Naomi wanted to send her two daughters-in-law back to their mother's home and even remarry. This is definitely not a good thing for Naomi herself, as she would be left alone in a bleak future with no one taking care of her as she aged. Why did she do that? It was because Naomi had witnessed how her two daughters-in-law had kindly treated their father-in-law and their own husband when they were alive. And she herself experienced the love and care as well. She did not want the misfortune of her family to threaten the two young widows. With great compassion for them, Naomi graciously asked them to return to their mother's house and remarry, giving them a chance for a better life in future. If we ask, how did Naomi show her grace to others? It is by putting the well-being of others first and proceed to act to benefit others, even if it may mean having to face a more difficult situation yourself. And you can all imagine that life would be really tough for Naomi without her daughters-in-law as she aged. It is like ripping herself off any help or protection that was left if she sent them away. But Naomi was adamant on this because she looked at the whole situation from the perspective of her daughters-in-law. What would be benefit most to them? She knew that it would be a dead end for them if they stayed with her. So from Naomi's example, it is worth asking ourselves, how do we show grace to others nowadays? Will we calculate and see if our loss and gain balance before we show kindness to others? What about if that act of grace is going to cost us? Will we still go ahead and do what is best for others? Is this practice of thinking of others first a good thing or a bad thing for ourselves? Now, from a worldly point of view, this practice would be considered extremely silly, as Naomi would have completely rid herself of any safety net. But as we can see in the book of Ruth, her kindness to Ruth made Ruth to willingly and faithfully follow her. And Ruth followed Naomi to move back to Bethlehem, a foreign place where she had never been, in order to take care of Naomi. Naomi's kindness towards Ruth won for her Ruth's heart and commitment to take care of her. And if we continue to read through the story, we find that Ruth reciprocated even greater grace to Naomi and blessed her in return. Ruth was young and widowed. Instead of seizing the golden opportunity to return home to get remarried, Ruth followed Naomi back to Bethlehem, where she was just a second-class citizen, a woman without a man, without son, without a man to rely on, and had no networking, no status. She was a good target to be bullied. But Ruth did not see it in this way at all. She worked really hard to take care of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Ruth went out to glean the fields from morning till evening each day to get food for Naomi. She gave to her mother-in-law all she had gathered, plus what she had left after she had eaten, leaving nothing extra for herself. Yet this was not the end of her grace to Naomi. Ruth took Naomi's advice and made the initiation to propose marriage to Boaz, who was a close relative of Elimelech's family. And according to the Levirate marriage law in Old Testament time, Boaz could be her kinsman redeemer, i.e., he could buy Elimelech's property and even marry Ruth. Should they have a son, the line of Elimelech would be reserved because the son will then become the descendant of Elimelech. However, in doing this, This required Ruth to marry Boaz, who was old enough to be her father. Can I ask the sisters, are you willing to marry a person, a guy, who is old enough to be your father? You know what? Ruth was willing to do so. Ruth was committed to show kindness to Naomi and to the house of Elimelech at all cost. Ruth's example make us think. Are we willing to give grace or show kindness to others to such an extent? How do we give grace or show kindness to others now? We may have demonstrated a willingness to help those in need by donating money or even supplies. If that person has no clothes to wear, we are willing to give them clothes. Or helping others to solve problems. And we are willing to do all these good deeds to others. And all these good deeds accomplished are not without any sacrifice. Simply speaking, in the Chinese congregation, many of us have to give right to the seniors or even help them to the supermarkets for grocery shopping. Now, we may look at this as, well, nothing much about like giving a right to others. How many of you have given right to others? Yes. It's not much, right, to give a right. But you know what, when we give right to others, what it means is we will have to sacrifice, first of all, our time. What else? Energy. What else? Yes. Jensen, what is it? Gas money. You know the gas is so expensive nowadays. And then what? What about parking fee? Right? When we give, well, for grocery shopping, we will have to park our cars. So you see that, but we do make some sacrifice when we help others. But most of the time, all these sacrifices are calculated, meaning that we know what we are in for. We know what we are losing, but we have made a conscious decision that it is not too painful, and it is affordable, and we can afford it. I think the challenge comes in, what if these losers truly intrude into our space and cause us real pain? Will we do it then? I would not be surprised to see that if we want to think twice before we do it or commit to do it, or even shine away from all this gracious action that we are asked to do. But what the Bible characters did seems so unreal to us nowadays. How can we learn from Ruth's example of showing others kindness and grace even to such an extent? We may also want to ask, how good is it to ourselves by making such sacrificial grace to others? And in the story, in Ruth's case, it triggered Boaz to show even greater kindness to Ruth and to the house of Elimelech. Ruth's commitment to Naomi certainly drew the attention of Boaz, who was so taken with Ruth that he not only allowed Ruth, a foreign slave, to drink water fetched from the well by his servants and sat with them at the table to eat. He also instructed his servants to let her gather among the sheaves, even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuild her. What special treatment Boaz was giving to Ruth. Why did Boaz extend such grace and kindness to Ruth? It was because he was so moved by Ruth's sacrificial commitments to the Elimelech family and also her loyalty to her mother-in-law. He wanted to help this virtuous woman. It indicates that when we give grace to others, we inspire others to do good deeds, as well as we may be, by God's grace, may be returned with a favor. And Boaz went even further and agreed to enter into the levirate marriage with Ruth to maintain the name of the dead Elimelech with his property. According to the levirate marriage law, if the husband dies and leaves no son, the widow may marry the brother of the deceased husband, and this firstborn son will be the legitimate heir of the deceased husband. However, this regulation is only limited to the immediate family members of the deceased, i.e., either the father or the brothers, and does not include distant relatives. A distant relative can redeem property that might have sold due to poverty, but does not need to take the widow as wife. And Boaz, being a distant relative of Elimelech, could very well turn down the marriage proposal as he was not obligated to marry Ruth. But he gladly did both. He did much more than required. So here you see Boaz extending grace and kindness over and above what was needed or required for Naomi and Ruth. He considered their well-being first and foremost without calculating his own possible losses. In extending grace to Ruth, Boaz would have to give up their firstborn son unconditionally so that this son could carry on the family name of Elimelech and inherit the fortune that Boaz had paid with his own money to redeem. This is the theme of Hesed in the book of Ruth. Boaz became the redeemer of the Elimelech family. And likewise, Jesus Christ is our redeemer. He gives extra grace by unconditionally sacrificing himself on the cross for us so that we may have eternal life. From the example of Boaz and also from our Lord Jesus Christ, can you see that this exceptional and additional grace given to others will bring new hope and a way out in a desolate situation? And Boaz's kindness to Ruth not only made him a benefactor to the Elimelech family, but also allowed him unknowingly to be part of God's salvation plan. At the end of chapter 4, according to the genealogy listed, we know that the baby born to Ruth and Boaz, Obed, was the grandfather of King David of Israel, who was the ancestor of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the Messiah who died on the cross for all of us. Imagine that. This simple act of kindness to Ruth gave Boaz the honor of participating in God's salvation plan. How amazing is this? So can you see, when Naomi showed kindness and grace to her daughters-in-laws by sending them away for their own good, this selfless act moved Ruth to allow his mother-in-law at all cost. And Ruth's faithful commitment to her mother-in-law then moved Boaz to willingly and unconditionally redeem Elimelech's property at his own expense. Eventually, this resulted in a joyful ending. And at the end of the book of Ruth, we can see that Naomi with a baby in her hands and her life was no longer bleak, and the Elimelech's family name was passed on, and so was his inheritance. It turned out that when these three people, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, extended grace to others under different circumstances, the effect of that grace can be, by God's grace, like a boomerang. It started with Naomi being kind and merciful, which eventually resulted in receiving blessing herself. Does this not give you the idea that when we show kindness to others, no matter how small it is, it triggers a domino effect, forming maybe a cycle of grace. As this kindness and mercy is then passed on and on to others, and very often, just like the story of Naomi, it makes a full circle when the giver becomes the receiver, if God allows. Would you not want to be like Naomi? To be the person who triggers the act or initiate the act of kindness and cause a chain reaction so that more people can be receivers? And you may have the chance to unknowingly participate in God's plan for others, just like Boaz being part of the great salvation plan. Some of you may think, is this real? Let me share with you a real life story. Chu Ben Yu was born in a poor rural family in China's Shandong province in 1982. His family was so poor that his mother had to borrow $2 from their neighbor to buy food for the family. $2 was such a small amount and perhaps so insignificant to the neighbor, but it meant so much to Ben Yu that he came to realize that when you stretch out your hands to help others in need, what you may give may seem small, but it make a huge difference to the people you help. It can even mean life or death. In 1999, Ben Yu was admitted to an agricultural university. He was so poor that he did not have adequate winter clothing. And the mother of his classmate noticed and then gave her two pieces of winter clothing. He was so deeply moved and said, "I have nothing to pay back in this kindness. The only thing I can do is to pass this love and compassion on to others. I have been the receiver of kindness, and I can do the same to others." Ben Yu fulfilled his promise and used most of his scholarship, college living allowance, and part-time salary to help two college students who were even less fortunate than he. He also donated money to help orphans in other provinces. He even delayed his entry to the graduate school to become a volunteer primary school teacher in a very small, very rural village where there was no water, no electricity, and no road. He did not adapt well there, and as a result, he developed like a chronic stomach problem. His weight went all the way down, but he did not give up. He continued to cut back on spending and save what he could from the living allowance given to him by the university to support the local children in the village. Like Ruth and Boaz, Ben Yu committed himself to do good for the children, regardless of what it meant to him. And the number of students receiving the education rose from 140 to 250. The sacrifice of Ben Yu made was later widely reported, attracting the attention of the government and society. And in 2003, the university created a program named the Westside University Student Volunteer Service and sent volunteer graduates to more than 500 poor rural areas to help the children to learn. And Ben Yu later founded an association which successfully built libraries for more than 20 primary and secondary schools and trained more than 400 teachers for rural poor areas. And through donations, 10 primary school buildings were renovated and put into use so that the local children can receive education and change their life. Now, for this story, what I want to draw your attention is not to Ben Yu's personal achievements, but how this all came about. Let's look at the neighbor who lent the $2 to his mother to buy food, and the lady who gave Ben Yu the two winter clothing. they would have never realized what the $2 and the 2 winter clothing actually did. These acts of kindness ignited and established Benjamin's willingness and commitment to help others. This domino effect from what seemingly small acts of kindness eventually benefits tens of thousands of children as they could receive education they could not have afforded. And I believe that those children who have been taught by Ben Yu may be so deeply moved that they will continue this cycle of kindness by helping more children in the rural, poor areas to learn. So you can see, any small favors that we can give to others may cause great changes in other people's life. So brothers and sisters, in actuality, many cycles of grace may have set in motion around us. Are we aware of them? For instance, have you ever comforted someone by words or by deeds? Have you given a glass of water to a thirsty person? Or just quietly be with someone as he or she grieves? These seemingly small acts of favor may well be the starting point to start the cycle of grace. Are you willing to be the starter to start this something new? Some of you may ask, well, Irene, all this may sound good, but in reality, any kind of kindness towards others may cause the giver something. Why should we go ahead with it? Yes, it is true that giving grace to others may cause us, especially if we unconditionally give to others but never receive anything in return. And often, this occurs in our daily lives. But do you know what is the meaning behind giving grace? I think it's PowerPoint. Yeah, here. So what is the meaning of giving grace? When we give grace to others, we are manifesting God's attributes. And the Hebrew term hesed is used in the Bible to express God's faithful love for man. It is his mercy and care for others. When we give grace to someone, no matter how insignificant it may seem, we are exhibiting God's glory and let the receiver experience for themselves that the God that we worship is a merciful God. The world cannot see God. So God preordained his children to show his mercy and grace to others so that they can see him through our deeds, good deeds. And more importantly, when we give grace to others, God may use our small favor to accomplish his great deeds. And the story of Ruth was first started with Naomi's dissolution and the crisis of terminating the Elimelech's line. But it was ended with a complete turnaround, not only with a baby born to the Elimelech's family, but also became the ancestors of Jesus Christ, being part of God's salvation plan. How had all this happened? It was because Boaz imitated God and treated Ruth with God's kindness. Boaz did not care how much he was going to lose or gain. He just cared about treating others with kindness, see that person as a person. The extra grace given to Ruth fully demonstrated God's faithful love for his people and resolved the dilemma of Naomi and Elimelech's family. And it shows that, God's grace can change any situation. We may doubt that. How can we make any significant changes with small acts of kindness? But brothers and sisters, God is sovereign, and his power is way beyond our imagination and comprehension. Do you remember the story of feeding the 5,000? I believe that the child and the disciples present there could not have imagined that Lord Jesus Christ could feed 5,000, actually more than 5,000, with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he delivered a miracle. The neighbor who lent the $2 to Ben-Yu's mom and the woman who gave Ben-Yu the winter clothing could not have imagined that the small act of kindness would eventually benefit tens of thousands of children in rural area. So we must not underestimate any small act of kindness that can be used by God, even just a smile, just a smile. Think about how God can use that smile of yours. We may also think that, well, it is okay and easy for us to deliver small favors to others, but it would be very difficult for us to commit like Ruth and Boaz to others, to help others in such an extent. And we think it in this way because we only focus on our limitations. We barely have enough time, energy, or resources for ourselves or even for our families. We think that how can we have more to give to others? We think that our ability to give is so limited. But Boaz saw things differently. He does not look at his own limitation. He only saw the infinite God behind him. Boaz was convinced that the Jehovah God, who created the heaven and earth, was the primary and only source of grace. And he was merely used by God as a channel to transmit his abundant grace to others. With God behind him, Boaz went ahead and became the kinsman redeemer of Ruth at all cost. And similarly, if we recognize that God is the source of all blessings, we then know that all the good things we have comes from God and only belongs to God alone. And if we have this mentality, we will not be stingy in giving because nothing belongs to us. We are only a channel used by God. And the grace and kindness we showed others actually stems from God. We can only afford to give as much as God gives us, and God gives us abundance. God replenishes us at different times in different ways, as he promises in Matthew, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." God is telling us that he will remember all the grace that we give to others, no matter how small the grace and mercy is. Then we better ask ourselves, how do we want to be used by God to give our grace? Do we want to be an open channel that allows God's grace to flow through endlessly? Or do we fear losing out too much and be a blocked channel that just allow God's grace to leak through? And finally, while it's impossible to know how God will use our small acts of kindness to accomplish his great things, but one thing is certain. The more we demonstrate kindness to others, the more positive energy will be released. And in a world that is full of deceit, violence, or even death, we need more positive energy to counteract the darkness and corruption in it. So when we flash a smile at others, or comfort others with words of encouragement, or provide assistance to the needy, or it's as simple as making a phone call to the lonely ones, we are actually releasing positive energy to neutralize the negativity of the world. And the more this happens, the more beautiful and colorful the world will become. May God make use of the small things that we do to restore the world back to the perfect goodness as he first created the heavens and earth. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us this book of Ruth. And let and lead us understand the concept of grace. You are the gracious God. When we give out grace, we are not giving out our grace. We are transmitting your grace. And Lord, may you use us to be your channel of blessing to others. And help us to see grace upon grace. And this cycle of grace will help us to see your presence among us. We ask all this in your name. Amen.